Christmas, there is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true, baby, all I want for Christmas is you.
Ho, 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 indeed. Hey, everybody. Merry Christmas. Merry post-Christmas, actually. Because I know you guys are listening to this after Christmas. And you know what? I hope you had a pretty awesome Christmas. Or something. How's it going, Carolyn?
Happy Hanukkah.
Yes, happy Hanukkah. You guys are listening
happy
to the one
Kwanzaa.
And only Carolyn and Joe show. We do not discriminate. We love all the holidays, cheer and or whatever. Just celebrate something.
Festivus.
Yes, Festivus. Believe in something. That's what we want you to do. How you doing, Carolyn? You doing good?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm doing excellent. It is the day after Christmas.
Yes, the post Christmas show. It's almost like the post game show.
Yeah, we're actually releasing an episode on Wednesday, and we usually read this on Tuesday, but Tuesday was Christmas, so in honor of the spirit, we decided to delay the program.
In honor of the spirit.
But also,
'tis the season to the spirit.
Also, you know, now it gives you something to listen to when you're back at work.
Yes, it does.
Back to work, everyone. This is like probably the worst day to get back to work.
What do you mean?
Because, like, everyone's all, you know, Christmassy, and you get a little break, and then you go straight back to work, and it's all cold outside.
It's not like how it is like back in like high school or school or any type of school where it's like a winter break. There is no winter
break. There's no break. It's just like a day.
We didn't even take the show didn't even take a break. We just took a moment, a pause.
A pause.
And we just kept on going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really it's interesting now that, you know, like you have the social network and you have all this stuff that's happening where people can see now your every single thought. Instead of listening to everyone's single thought, like how it sounds, I have not experienced a point in each one of the either of those Twitter or Facebook or any one of those social networks where there was someone that was not happy or that was not like saying like I hate Christmas or this is the worst. It's like
what about Bah Humbug?
Bah Humbug or all that stuff. There's always someone that's just that's just miserable or hates it, and I guess that is the time, too.
There are some people that are, like, holiday curmudgeons.
Yeah. You know, and maybe sometimes I'm just as moody about that, but, you know, I don't need to broadcast it because I realize a lot of times that, like, you know, what you put out there and the mood and the energy that you bring out there is very much going to affect everything around you, too. You know, you ever notice that?
The power of positive thinking?
The power of just, like, you know,
positive mental attitude,
not just
PMA.
not just positive, but just the energy you put out is the energy that comes back.
That is true, because isn't that what is that saying? Misery loves company.
Yeah.
So all the miserable people can just be miserable together.
And you know,
has that happened to you before?
There has been several times. Like I remember in the beginning of like my when I was going to school. And I was a photographer back then and shooting and photographing people. I had a conversation with one of the models saying like how she's always depressed and stuff like that. And I remember in the back of my head thinking after that shoot, because it was really about that. It was that shoot, because I like to have like some sort of small talk just to fill the dead air of a photo shoot sometimes of just talking about feelings. How do you feel? Or, you know, like weird stuff like that.
Who do you think you are, Dr. Drew?
But, like, I don't know. It's really just white noise for me just to be able to say whatever just so I can distract them from actually being photographed. But then, like, this this one model was always like, oh, yeah, I'm always depressed.
Completely down in the dumps.
I'm just down, you know, I'm always just always like that, and that's just how I am. And then there's some people that just won't escape that. But then it's interesting how, like, after that, I sort of questioned. I was like, what is, should I really be happy about stuff? Is there something that I should not be happy about, you know?
So she made you depressed based on how she's depressed.
No, I mean, like,
or at least for that moment.
There was a moment where I could have been depressed. I feel like I could have seeped into that, but I sort of fought that because, you know, that's, I'm already past that sort of, like, you know, lameness stage in my life. I mean, I understand that there'll be depression and stuff, but then there's some people that are sort of like hive mind depression, where it's sort of just like, well, I guess everything isn't that good. You know what I mean? I guess it's all about just being down. And you know, that's how I thought. Like, I thought, like, oh, then there's just going to be people who will start, you know, just easily bleeding into that type of mental thought process, and then they'll just give up to it. And, like, and for a moment, I was like, man, maybe I should be depressed, too. And I snapped into it. I was like, no, fuck that. Why am I going to have to go through that shit again? Can't I? Like, so it's sort of like they just give up, but you can't give up. You fight that. Because I realize people who are sort of like depressed and like that, and people say it's a disease or whatever. I don't know, but it's also like, you know, you can't just let it go.
Get to that level though.
It can get to that level, but also there's also work that comes into being happy at the same time.
Well, I remember a couple of my, I guess, employment ago, a couple jobs ago. There was a couple people that were really miserable, like, in life.
Yeah.
And they were older than me. They were, like, probably around 10 years older than me. And they were just completely miserable. And then one of them kind of infected other people.
Yeah.
And then it grew throughout the office throughout the course of a year.
And then everyone's like, oh, I'm all miserable, too. And I guess it's not so great.
And it was kind of like they were having, like, some type of mini midlife crisis or something. I know it's a little early to have a midlife crisis in their 30s or whatever.
I honestly, like, think it's not early enough or anything to have any type of crisis.
Well, whatever, they were just having... Well, it's that phrase, midlife crisis, or there's also the quarter life crisis when you're 25 and everyone's like, I can't find a job.
That's just an excuse phrase. That's an excuse phrase.
It's a power phrase.
It's something to give a reason for, like, oh yeah, it makes sense for me doing this. It's okay.
Yeah.
I don't understand people fall so quickly in line with these phrases that people just make up out
of
nowhere.
They want to be put in groups.
Or they also just want to have, like, no, I'm okay. Leave me alone. Like, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be, you know, acting like this.
Well, anyway.
Sure.
Anyway,
sure,
for me, it was, like, kind of a little strange to relate to, because they were like, a handful of generation age above me, and I was just like, this is what I have to look forward to, and they're just, like, going to work, like, being super miserable, and it seriously grew from, like, a couple people to, like, most of the office, and I was like, this place is depressing.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it is misery loves company, and then, like, they were trying to, like, kind of recruit me, too. Like,
how they're like, come on, you gotta be depressed too.
Yeah, like, it wasn't exactly worded like that, but they were just like, they would come up to me and, like, complain about the workplace. And some of the complaints were, like, valid though, you know, like, at the same time, but I was like, why are we even talking about this? And then they would, like, bring up other people in the office that weren't even, like, related, that I never even thought about, and, like, try to, like, be like, oh, this person did this, and this is horrible, and you shouldn't like them, type thing, you know?
What, like, do you mean you shouldn't like them?
Well, like, pointing out how, like, the other person, like, did some things that weren't great or something, but then I never really thought about that other person. Like,
yeah.
I just kind of let them be in their own, like, office. But then, like, people would be against that person. And I'd be like, okay. Like, they would try to be like, oh, you shouldn't talk to her because of blah, blah, blah.
Oh, they, and, like, they sabotage people, the relationship, do they?
But, like,
they
but
sabotage
I thought,
the possible seed of friendship.
But I've always thought that was weird because I was like, nothing even happened between us, you know? I just think that that's strange. And it's like, I guess, like, to a certain extent, since I was also the youngest person in the office, they also tried to protect me. And sometimes they were, like, calling me little sister. They're like, she's, like, the little sister. And, like, they wouldn't tell me certain things that went on in the office that were, like, you know, deemed bad. And then eventually I found out about some of them, and I was, like, for a while I was a little bit depressed. Like, not, like, to a level of high intensity, but just it did, like, suck you in. Like, they try to suck you in with this negative energy.
I feel like it's also, it's really easy to... It's really easy to be like that. Like, if you think about it, that it really gains no effort into just being like, well, I guess it's sad, I'm bad. You know what I mean?
All be sad together type thing.
Yeah, you know, let's go drinking. Let's drink our sorrows away. It's really easy, and I'm always against sort of the easy path. if it's easy like that, there's like something up. You know, I feel like that, and I feel like there's nothing wrong with work. There's nothing wrong with hard work, actually. But I feel like people tend to do that. That's why drinking all that is big with people. That's why all those things, because it's easy to get sucked into. But I'm saying, you know, I understand that this the emotional level is high during these times, and also the sadness level is high, and you get a chance, you do seek into it, but you also got to fight it. You know, you got to.
So what do people do for fun then? Besides drinking, that's the thing. Like, I'll ask people, like, so what do you like to do? And then they're just like, drink.
Well, again, that's another easy answer. I realize if you don't take the easy answer, there's actually more fulfilling things out there. You know?
Yeah.
And I guess people can go to bars and be like, oh, let's go look for chicks and let's go look for guys, or let's go look for transvestites, or whatever the people want out there.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Trannies.
Whatever the people like enjoy. That's a reason. But you know, make music, draw, watch movies. Yeah, you know, there's a whole bunch of, actually that's pretty much it.
There's other creative outlets. I don't know. I feel like it's good that a lot of people. But you can also transform from the dark side to the positive side.
Yeah,
because I've
like
seen
Batman.
I've seen that too, like people that a couple years ago were not doing so well, and now they're like super happy. It happens. I guess there's just moments in life, but I just don't appreciate like the people that drag other people down.
Downers, man.
Well, they're also
buzzkills.
Like, emotional vampires.
Yeah,
like they can steal your energies and powers. It's like Dungeons and Dragons or something.
And also I feel like that's what's really critical now with all this social media and all this stuff like that, is when you see all these people reacting a certain way, like a human tendency is to move in packs like that, to be like, oh, you know, I guess that's how it is. I guess I should say sorry to Johnny too. I guess I should be, you know, praising or being saying, oh, this person, you know, like saying, just doing things that everyone else is doing. Peer pressure is funny now. Now it's a different level of peer pressure, I guess. It's more of like it's almost like the follow the leader peer pressure that's happening. It's the same thing, but you know, but now it's digital and you just read it. Now it gets stuck in your head. More subliminal these days.
There is like levels of negativity that can be brought forth in a positive way through comedy. Like sometimes I'll listen to Adam Carolla, and what he does is just like rant on stuff that he thinks is crappy, or he complains. Like, he loves to complain about anything. And, like, the way he delivers it is kind of in a funny way. But he's a little bit of curmudgeon.
But see, I think that's what's also amazing about that. His work and his creativity is the comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he's not expending that energy and just wasting it.
Yeah.
A lot of wasted energy and a lot of wasted time.
But also maybe it's a release for him to just complain about it, like, you know, through audio, and just be like, blah, 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 I complain about this. That's like his way of,
that's what's great about this
release.
Show.
We can release all of our pain onto you.
Yeah.
But then hopefully people can relate, and they'll be like, other people are going through the same thing too. Then we can all combine through positivity.
I think the my favorite, because I remember before Christmas came, I guess we're just doing a marathon on just like Christmas episodes, and I think one of the Christmas episodes that like is still one of my favorites is that Supernatural episode with the pagan gods. I like the angle that Supernatural has on that, the way that sort of like they bring it. I was wondering like, oh, so how is Supernatural? This is like from the season 3, I think, and I was like, oh, how is Supernatural going to do a spin on their own Christmas episode, because it's still like horror, you know what I mean? It's still stuff like that. And the I don't know, it's just they were able to, it's a good example of like what makes this time really crucial for such a storytelling device, because there are so many sad people out there, and there's so many memories, and there's so much pressure of people trying to, it's like, you gotta be here or I'm sad, or it's like, you gotta, you know what I mean? It's like, or you have that, you have that sort of moment. You have that, you know, the miracles and stuff are supposed to happen at this time. And a lot of times people's miracles are like, oh, I wish this person would be here on this day, or I wish I got this. If I don't, then I'm sad. You know, and it's such an impossible thing for everyone to always live up to, that you are going to have plenty of people that are going to be, you know, like lonely and sad because of that. And I thought that, like, I thought that Supernatural had a great idea of, like, you know, they had the flashback of the of Sam and Dean when they were younger, and how, like,
the young
dad,
times.
Yeah. And how they good stories can be told here, because I think that's why it's like I don't know, whoever decided to stick Christmas into this era, into this time, I think it was a pretty smart choice.
Into this era? What do you mean by that?
Well, into this, like, oh, it goes into December, lines up with the festive winter solstice or whatever, you know what I mean?
Well, because actually I've heard different things. Like, I've heard that Jesus was supposed to, or was supposedly born in the summer.
Yeah.
And then in that Supernatural episode, I believe they said it was the fall.
I mean...
But I've heard different things, like they moved it, you know, I guess around to make it better for the human condition.
I don't even know how they're supposed to keep track of it. He was born in the desert. You know what I mean?
Well, you would know, because, you know, like that story of the three wise men and all that, seeing the star. You would at least know what season that was in. So let's say, like, because I have heard it was originally in the summer.
Well, how do you know what season it is? They have the winter solstice?
Yeah, but you would know, like, even if you don't have a calendar with you, or, you know, it's like that olden days.
Yeah.
You would still know, like, this happened during this time.
I think,
like, they would know. Like, there's, I guess, if
would they know the exact same day?
Maybe, but if not, they would at least know the season. Like, for example, if you're born in the summer, let's say July.
Yeah.
Do you celebrate your birthday in December 25th? You know, like stuff like that. It's like it's almost like they just changed the rules to make it more convenient. Because honestly, as a Catholic, I can say that's what Catholics do. They just change the rules to whatever is apparent.
Let it work for us first.
But I mean, there's like hard-on rules, but then they change all these other rules, so I don't know.
But
basically what I'm saying is that Jesus was born not actually on December 25th. But that's like kind of irrelevant.
It is sort of irrelevant, but there's a lot of people that sort of try to pick it up. They're like, no, actually, we shouldn't even be
celebrating. Everything must be factual.
We should be celebrating on October 31st, actually. Halloween. All Saints, like when the Saints, when the dead rises. There are a lot of people.
Well, he rises also on Easter.
Yeah,
that's the celebration of Easter.
Well, there are like quite a bit of people that are. I remember that being like a big thing where it's like, no, it wasn't the exact date, so we shouldn't do that. Or there's even that time, I don't know, when people talk about religion and it being completely factually correct, part of me feels like, well, you're missing the point, like date wise.
Well, they're like more into the science. Like, they're just like, everything must be specific. There's one person I know in my life that's like that. Like, with everything. Like, if I'll be like, oh, this is a nice color brown. He'll be like, excuse me, that is not brown.
That is
sage chocolate mocha. And I'm like, oh, sorry. You know, like, it's like, and then, like, everything I'll say, he, like, tries to correct me, like, I'm wrong or something. And I'm like, okay.
It's like,
it's like way too technical. Like,
it's like it's, that's what he said. Sure, buddy.
But it's like, that's what I'll say in my head, because it's like way too technical, though. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be like, oh, that's a nice photo of the sunset. Looks like it's in the Bahamas or something. And then he'll be like,
excuse me, that's Jamaica.
That's St. John. And I'm like, okay. You know, like, and I'm just like, it's like a little much.
Is it like really that important for that person to have it exactly?
Yeah, and he also like checks Google and Wikipedia like for everything.
First, let me check the Google to make sure this is correct before I even speak.
Yeah. It, like, it's almost like, in a small way, he's like a walking Google.
Yeah.
And, like, but it after a while, like, it's kind of funny joke to, like, be like, oh, I'm correcting you, I'm correcting you, I'm correcting you, I'm correcting you, and I know all. You know, like, I get it. But then after a while, it's kind of unenjoyable. It's like, okay, I'm not, you know, trying to compete with you. This isn't Jeopardy.
It's like oh,
it's like, it's like he acts like it's academic, like, every minute or something.
It's like we can't make a... I don't know. I enjoy mistakes.
Well,
I revel in mistakes, because there's so many. There are people that are just waiting for people to make mistakes so they can get like the one up.
Yeah,
and be like, oh, wait a minute, no, it's 2 inches taller. Is it like 10 miles to the moon or something like that? Actually, no, it is not. I've been waiting for you to say this forever, but you are incorrect.
Yeah.
You have been incorrect many times.
You do not have what it takes to be Ink Master. It's just
specifically, you know, online people are hardcore like that too. But like in person, that's even worse. But then you really see those people online because those are the ones probably waiting.
It's one thing if you really have to be super correct on something. Like if you're an architect and you're like, oh, this room is 6x9 or something. And then somebody comes in and corrects it. Be like, actually, it's 6x12. You know, like that's more
like, it needs to be 6x12 because they all, you know, they all balance out.
But if I'm just like talking about a movie or something and then I'll like mispronounce someone's name even. I'll be like, oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger or something. He'll be like,
Schwarzenegger.
He'll be like, it's Schwarzenegger. And I'm like, oh, sorry. You know, like, it's, I don't know. It's like kind of a downer because I understand, like, even, I guess it is sometimes good to be corrected.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like less fun because now I feel like everything is, has to be, like, if I misspeak, it'll be like a totally discount.
And what happens too is that.
But
like,
the thing is like everyone will know what I'm already talking about. Like, yeah. Schwarzenegger, okay? Like, you know what? But at the same time, yeah, I might pronounce it incorrect, but it's like, why does everything have to be like this grammar police?
But also, if you think about it, it's also really easy to correct someone. It's like you can just wait for those moments and everyone makes mistakes, but it's so easy just to be like, oh, no, blue. You know, that's really easy, but it's hard to be the first one to speak.
Yeah.
You know, it's really like. Being the first one that takes a step is like, so it's like, well, it's really difficult. And like, you see that with people, like, where do you want to eat? I don't want to offend you. I don't want to offend you. Or, you know what I mean? It's so hard to be the first one to speak. But then after someone's like, McDonald's. Oh, I hate McDonald's. You know what I mean? It's so easy to be that person.
It changed around like 10 times.
But it's so easy to be those people.
Well, I don't like. Then somebody else is like, Taco Bell, and then somebody is like, I don't like Mexican. It's like, you can't make everybody happy, so...
So the person who has to make the decisions has that hard choice. That's why when you're in that decision-making, you know, people always wonder about that. It's like, oh, why does that guy get to be the one who gets paid more, he's in a higher position, and he just makes these decisions? I can make decisions, too. And, like, that might be true, but it's also like, well, he's probably making the harder decisions. Like, willing to keep you for your job. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Was that a Christmas burp?
That's usually what I find is people are really afraid to like to be the one that steps forward is always it's a big challenge.
Some people are more natural leaders though, like I guess the way that they were brought up in their childhood. You can see even like if you watch kids playing together, you can see how like one kid kind of emerges as more of a leader position.
Yeah.
So I guess that's all part of growing up and personality. You can get all into that, but happens.
I thought it was cool that it snowed on Christmas Eve over here on the East Coast in the D.C. area.
It snowed for probably on and off for about an hour or two.
And then on Christmas Day, it was like warm. I was like, wow, that sounds sort of just like how the whole entire year has gone by.
And now it's snowing right now on this lovely Wednesday, December 26th, 2012. The weather report is snow.
And as you guys noticed, the world did not end.
Yeah.
Because we are here and we are live, or when we're recording live.
Still have more shows for you.
Yeah. And it's, you know, everyone, I had a feeling it was not going to end. Because I just have a feeling it's not going to end. But at the same time, it's like I wanted something to happen, at least. When you have all this hype going in, you're like, I want... Like, I remember when your mom told us that story about something that, like, what was it, Annapolis? Where, like, all these people, were like,
yeah,
the power went out.
Yeah, the power went out in Annapolis.
Like, if I was there, I would be like, oh my god, it's happening, you know what I mean? Because you're like, holy shit, even though the power going out shows you exactly, you know, the power went out, and basically everyone thought, like, it was the end of the world, and they were running around, like, we gotta survive. And then, like, at least if I were to go through that, I would be like, oh, and then realize when you go across the street to another town that the power's fine and nothing's happening. That you start to at least you experience some sort of something as opposed to being like anticipating and then nothing happening.
Yeah, I had a feeling that 2012 Mayan prediction would not amount to anything because I knew that like I feel like the world has more to take. Like we haven't abused the earth enough.
The world would just shake us off. That's what's gonna happen.
But like,
can't
you know,
really
everyone's like
growth.
We're abusing the earth and stuff, which I, you know, think to a certain extent we are. But I think the earth can take a ton of more abuse. Like, it's not gonna end. I don't think
anytime
soon.
Unless the moon crashes towards the earth.
But even if that happened, I don't think it would destroy... I don't know. I don't think it would be...
Like, something the size of the moon landing on the Earth or crashing into the Earth?
Like, how big around is
that's,
that?
That's bigger than the asteroid that hit the dinosaurs, man.
Really?
That's like
well,
a moon.
Maybe we would die.
Can you imagine the moon crashing to Earth?
Is that even possible?
I mean, why not? Anything's possible.
Well, yeah. I don't know scientifically if it's possible, but... I guess anything could be possible.
I remember we sent out our Christmas cards and made me realize, man, all those people that sent out all those Christmas cards, that shit's expensive.
It is.
God.
You have to pay postage.
You send to everybody.
Make the card. It is very expensive. It's basically like just, I think that that's why people don't even send them out anymore. It's like $100 to send out a batch of Christmas cards.
Now they just post and be like, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, they're like, I found this image online of a cat
on top of a tree or something.
Yeah, cat on top of a tree wearing a Santa hat. Merry Christmas. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, I saw a lot of posts this year that said, like, I didn't have time to do holiday cards, so I hope this suffices.
It doesn't suffice.
I saw a handful of those.
It doesn't suffice.
Yeah, like...
Because you post every day.
Well, exactly. But, like, and also it wasn't, like, individually sent to you.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, like, an email that was, like... Hey Joe, I was thinking of you this Christmas, and with like a tailored image like that you would like.
I got a mass text that just said, "Merry Christmas to you and your family," and I was like, and I didn't have the number, like the number was the person wasn't saved, so I was like, "All right, who are you?"
You didn't even know who it was from.
I didn't even know who it was from.
I think like
it sort
year
of
after
seems pointless.
Year.
I stopped actually doing that. I stopped doing like the mass text. I actually stopped doing anything mass. I just do anytime I do anything now, it's just personal. Everything is just straight up personal. I don't want to do anything unless it's like promotion or something like that. I don't like doing like a mass text or, you know, some crap like that. That's just seems pointless to me.
Over all the past years, I've seen like all the cards go down in size. Like I used to get
credit card.
Well, no, I used to get like Christmas cards from people.
Yeah.
Now I like got only like one. It's like kind of sad though. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure like everyone's busy and that people have stuff going on. I don't think anyone uses the postal service anymore. And also I think that the art of greeting cards is kind of dead.
Is it?
Sad because like
if you can get an e-card, it's the same exact thing then, right?
Well, like I look at like the Hallmark aisles, even like or even at Target, they have cool greeting cards or the Hallmark store. There's, like, actually a lot of really awesome greeting cards. Or even at Paper Source.
Yeah.
But, I guess, like, people only receive those only on super special occasions these days.
Yeah.
And now Christmas isn't really super special to people anymore. They're like, it comes around every year.
Because they're all so used to it. Because you know why? Because
they take
don't,
it for granted.
Yeah, they take Christmas for granted, you know, and I understand that. And I completely, you know, that can happen when things just happen so fast and all of a sudden it's Christmas. You know what I mean? But it's also doing something different and making it, you know, unique in some way by not making it cookie cutter, I guess. But I guess that's what Christmas is. It's a standard. It's a date that happens every year. That like, okay, here it is again. Here's another holiday. You know, that's what the holidays are. Something to be.
Well, maybe when people sent out Christmas cards, like physical Christmas cards this year, maybe that they'll get more attention in a way because. People are like, wow, well, somebody actually sent me a Christmas card. Like, it'll be so, like, rare.
Yeah. I think that's, like, you know, I don't know. It's a weird Christmas, but I thought it was a good Christmas. Because, I don't know. I just feel like there's this massive amounts of change happening, like, in the air. Like, people are getting tired of things. Like, I don't know. It feels like people are starting to get, like, really, over things, you know what I mean? They're like, I'm over this, you know what I mean?
They're like, I don't even need Christmas, I already know what's gonna happen.
Like, I hate Christmas.
I'm gonna open my stocking and open presents and then like sit around and watch football all day, you know? Like, it's like,
I'd hate to watch all this stuff for football on that day. It's like, crap, now we gotta work on Christmas, gotta play football on Christmas.
I'm sure they live for it.
Yeah, but yeah, that's true.
Were there actually any football games on during Christmas?
I don't know. I saw football being on screen. I saw basketball on TV and stuff like that.
But so many times when I was younger, like, that's what Christmas was. It was just like, you wake up early, open presents, you know, Santa came.
Yeah.
And then you, like...
I don't even know if people don't even believe in Santa around. These days. I hope people believe in Santa.
They should. I believe in Santa. Santa's like one of my awesome favorite like figures of Earth. Like, because like look at him physically. He's just like this jolly man that lives in the North Pole with a bunch of elves that makes toys all year round and then rides on this awesome sled house to house every year for one night.
Yeah,
it's actually pretty awesome. And he has like reindeer.
Is he exactly how it is in that movie The Guardians?
No, because like that's a different take on in Rise of the Guardians. That's a different take on Santa.
Did you enjoy that movie or do you think that it should have been live action? Imagine if it was live action.
That would be amazing. But like I did enjoy that movie. I had more hype into it going in. Because I was like, man, look at all these characters. I felt like the character design was awesome.
Yeah.
And I thought that I thought that the premise of having all of these children's figures, like Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, Sandman, and Jack Frost, I thought that that was a good combination of the myth and the trueness of those spirits.
So what was the concept of the Guardians is what? Is that the whole name? I always think of it as just being called
Isn't it called Rise of the Guardians?
Rise of the Guardians?
I think so. And the is it Legends of the Guardians or Rise of the Guardians?
And basically it's like an Avengers team, but it's all like the superhero, like the what do we call them? Like the, like Sandman, the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, and Jack Frost. What do we call those characters?
The Guardians.
No, but what are they like? And what are they, lore, or what are they like?
You know what I mean? Protect the children.
No, I mean, what are they? What are they?
Folk tales.
Is that what they are?
Fairy tales, kind of like they're kind of I guess lore might be. You know, they're mythical figures.
Well, basically, they join together as a group, and they fight the evil spirit. What's the concept of this?
They were fighting the boogeyman.
So basically, they join up like every year to fight just the boogeyman?
Not every year, but it was just that the boogeyman rose. Did you sleep during the whole movie?
No.
The boogeyman like rose up to power.
Yeah.
Like he had, and there's a giant map of the globe, and there's a light for like each child that believed. And gradually throughout the movie, the children started to believe less and less because of the boogeyman and like negative effects. So they were trying to light up the globe again.
They had that globe that signified everyone that was that believed, but it's crazy how they're able to pinpoint to just one person, and it was like the good friend of Jack Frost. It always works out like that.
And then they built up the lights again. They built up the believing.
But it's funny when I watched that, it felt like the bigger, the more important star of that was the Sandman. He seemed like the key component of that movie was the Sandman. I guess they're all cool, you know what I mean? But you have Santa Claus and you have the Easter Bunny, you know?
I did like the voice acting, and I liked the characters. I felt like and I was like really pumped to see that film because I was like, wow, this is like an animated film that's not Disney Pixar, you know?
What was it? DreamWorks?
Yeah, I believe it was DreamWorks. And so I was like excited just to, you know, and I'm not like against obviously Disney or Pixar. I think that they make amazing movies, but I just want to see like some competition in the animation field. There already is, but sometimes I want to like pull for just animation in general.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, this looks exciting. But the movie was not bad, but it just kind of like at the end felt super like it was punching you in the face to be like,
Have spirit
and jolly old Christmas and
kids dancing in the snow.
But it was like also wrapped up with a little bow, you know, like at this, like I don't have any suggestions to make it better. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like at that end of it, it's like, oh, then it was a good film. But at the same time, it almost felt like super sugary coated to be like, you must believe. And then like that, when the music hit at the credits, that song was almost like, too like typical of like being it's hard for me to like really be critical of an animated movie.
Yeah, you can be critical of anything,
you know, because I enjoyed it, but it's just like it just felt like super syrupy.
Well, there's
like
a lot of on the nose, like this is a Christmas thing at the end, but it became like a I don't know, because since I fell asleep in the beginning of the movie and I woke up and they're all like collecting teeth, I was like, what is going on?
All these there was like cool moments in that. Like the collecting of the teeth was pretty cool, and then all the memories were stored in the teeth. Like that there was like good things. And then even like when they went to like the Easter Bunny's hangout, like he would just like tap on the floor a few times and then a hole would appear and then he'd like go down the hole like a slide.
What was cool. What do you think made it not so like have that ultra magical moment of the Christmas, you know what I mean? That didn't make it like a classic and more or less made it like a run of the mill. Like story wise. Because there's all the great ideas there, but there was just something that wasn't clever enough. You know what I mean? There's something there that just didn't make it as you know, like, we fought, we won, we win type deal. But I guess that's maybe the structure
it,
of that
maybe
story.
Maybe because it was, like, in a way, a little predictable.
You knew they were going to save the day?
You knew that, like, I mean, it was so obvious that they're going to, like, you know, make all the kids believe again.
Because even you knew that was going to happen You knew that in all the Christmas episodes, but, like, also, like, in... And The Nightmare Before Christmas. But what makes The Nightmare Before Christmas classic compared to, like, The Guardians being classic? Well, visually, The Guardians... Nightmare Before Christmas was a... It's a darker tale, but
It was, like, a stop motion, and so... In a way, maybe that's more memorable, because those movies are more rare.
Yeah.
But that I shouldn't discredit that, because I think... I still feel like The Guardians had good designs of the characters.
Yeah.
Because I liked how Santa also had, like, tattoos. Like, on one arm he had, like, a tattoo sleeve that said naughty, and the other one said nice.
Because it's always...
And he was, like, more Germanish. Like, he was like, I'm Santa Claus! Like a hardcore, like, German.
Because it's always... that's what's the trouble... Not the trouble, but that's what's the challenge of making a story, like, Christmas story or anything story like that, is what makes it... How do you make it that special uniqueness? And it's like, I guess, well, Tim Burton hit it right there with that movie.
I think Tim Burton has also like more notoriety, like for example the Rise of the Guardians movie.
Was there a big name attached to that?
No, but I found out like when the movie was coming out, one of their promotion tactics was to say that their director was black, which is like...
Oh really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, like I read it was on the Washington Post. Like
there was no black character in there.
They said the director is the Obama of animation. That's what they're like quoting in quotes, Obama of animation. And like, honestly, I was kind of like turned off by that because I mean,
it has nothing to do with Christmas.
And also it has nothing to do with what skin color you are. But what I will say is that there apparently, you know, I guess there's not a lot of black animation directors.
Yeah.
So like he's making strides in his field.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, I don't remember the dude's name. It makes Obama overshadow him.
Yeah.
And, like, I think it's great that he's a black animation director. I'm not against that.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, now all I know you as is Obama of animation. I don't even know your real name, dude. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I have no idea what his name was. I saw his picture online. They had they had a headshot of him. But, and then...
You're like,
and
you look like Phil Lamar. That's fine.
But they said that...
That's I feel like anyone in animation, like in animation, would be just Phil Lamar.
I don't know really what exactly he... looked like. He didn't look like Phil Lamar though. But also there was a quote in the article at the end that he like, you know, apparently his parents found out that he's being called the Obama of animation.
Yeah.
And he was like saying that his parents like almost cried. They're like really, you know, happy for him that he's like blazing the torch for black people and they love Obama and stuff. And I'm like,
and then before that they're like, you thought I was just kidding around. Now I was a real director. Now you think because
I'm Obama,
man, now I'm Obama, so it means something to
but
you.
But I'm
now.
Like, I didn't see that. I don't like the spin on that. Because why isn't it even brought up? Why do you have to be called the Obama of animation? That's like if somebody called you the Manny Pacquiao of filmmaking.
It's sort of just like
it's just like, oh, I'm equating like the most famous of your race.
It's like
to say what you are.
It's such an easy answer. You know, it's such an easy, like, of course. It's like, you know.
It's stupid. But also, like, it makes people not even remember your name, though. Yeah. You're just going to be like, oh, Manny Pacquiao. That's him.
You're Manny Pacquiao. Like, what?
Yeah, you're Obama.
Wasn't there a story you wanted to talk about on the Christmas episode? I'm trying to remember what it was.
Oh, yeah, there was. Basically, I saw this advertisement for K Jewelers that was, like, kind of disturbing. And also, on one hand, in life in general, I'm like, oh, I can't be offended by anything. Like, I've seen it all. You know, like, that type of thing. But, man, I saw this K Jewelers ad, and it was like, it got me thinking. Let's put it that way. Which, on one hand, maybe good, because, like, it got me thinking.
How'd the ad go?
Is, it's actually not even really wintertime. It's kind of, because there's kind of greenery in the background, but, it's in a backyard, suburban backyard, and there's a little girl on a swing set. She's probably, like, 6 or 7 years old. And then there's a male man talking to her, and then the background kind of faded out. You can see, or I shouldn't say faded out, kind of not in focus. You see, like, a older woman, like a, not, I shouldn't say old, but, like, a mom.
Yeah.
You see her mom, you see a little girl on the swing set, and up close in the foreground with a father figure in the front. The male says to her,
I think snowing. It looks like it's snowing outside.
It is snowing. I did report that earlier.
But like, it's before it was hailing. Now it looks like snow is actually on the ground.
No, it is snowing.
Snowing!
It's officially snowing.
All right, so the mailman in the background.
No, there is no mailman in the background.
Oh, what was
I don't think you were listening.
Well, I was distracted by the snow, by the beautiful snow.
Do you want me to start over?
No, just continue.
Okay, what? Now I feel like I have to.
No, I was just, I was just motivating you to continue.
Oh, okay. Because you interrupted for the announcement of the snow again. But okay, what I'm saying is that basically in the foreground you have a daughter on the swing set and then a man. And the man goes up to her and he's like, I'm so happy to be marrying your mother. And then he like pulls out for her, like it's almost like he's proposing to her because he's like kind of at her eye level. You know, like kneeled down.
Yeah.
And he like brings out like a diamond pendant necklace. Like, as if he's trying to bribe the little girl. And then...
So what he's trying to do is exactly what whoever... Every kiss begins with K is trying to do.
Every kiss begins with K. And then, like, and then she's like, wow, I got a necklace or whatever. And it's like, they make it all warm and fuzzy on the ad. But I'm like, is this, like, a thing now that, like, with divorce... I can't also assume that they are divorced. Because what if the mom is a widow? You know, like there was none of that information.
Well, why would they be motivating people for a widow?
Well, you see, but that's what I'm saying. Towards the widow angle. Either one of two things. Either she never got married, and there's no dad, like present in the relationship, or she is a widow and the dad died.
Yeah.
And she's getting remarried, or she got divorced and she's on her whatever second or third or fourth or fifth marriage, and she's bringing another man into her life. They never went through the history of this family situation, which I don't think is necessary because they're trying to obviously sell a necklace. But there's that situation where I'm like, okay, so basically they're, in my opinion, honestly, I feel like they're gearing this towards people that are getting remarried or divorced, that are getting, they're getting another family, like inheriting another family to bribe the kid to be like, oh, I'm going to bring you into my family now.
That's all that Kay really does is Kay just is one of the leading manufacturers of bribing tools. All they do is try to manipulate people. And like, no, she's not going to say yes until you buy a K jewelry. I hate that. until you buy 10 diamonds, 24 karat gold.
The other issue I have with the commercial, too, is like this kid's probably like in second or third grade or something. I don't know like the exact age, but it's also like, why the hell?
You said the grade, but not the age. That's how we grade it. Well, that's how we tell how old people are.
I don't know. That's why I was like, she's either 6 or 7. I don't know the ages, but like, she's a young girl. And like, why would you give a young girl that young, like straight up a diamond pendant? I don't understand that. Like, it would be better if it was like a charm bracelet. Because that's like appropriate for that age.
Not like a $10,000.
Well, I don't know if it was $10,000, but like, still, like a little girl should not be even wearing that type of necklace, unless it maybe is like her mom's, and like they're going out for like a special event, and or it's Christmas, and the mom is like, you can wear this only today, don't break it.
You can tell that daughter was already trained by her mom to like things like that too.
Yeah, and see, I think it's gonna be harmful for guys in the future because jewelry is
already harmful for guys. They think that's just the only answer. It's like, oh, do you love her? Then you give her jewelry. And then jewelry's bullshit anyway. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, too, is that she's going to grow up being like, oh, my daddy.
Superficial as fuck.
My daddy, my stepdaddy or whatever, my daddy got me this diamond pendant when I was only in whatever third grade, and then she's gonna like every year think that she needs to get something like that, and then by the time she's of dating age, when she's like 18 or something, yeah, be like, where's my diamond pendant, it's my birthday, you know, like she's gonna want like
from
all
everybody
of that stuff,
from everybody, from every guy that she's ever, every you guy give me this diamond pendant, my father tried to bribe me
on the swing set.
On the swing set. So I should get, I should just, it's all the parents, man. It's just like when we watch This Is 40. It starts with the parents.
But you know what else is interesting too?
Good, great movie, by the way.
Excellent movie. What else is interesting too is maybe it's like going to be a thing. So that when young, like young girls that are getting like, you know, they're having like a new family, right?
Yeah.
Through divorce or their dad died or whatever, yeah, you know,
the
like
modern way.
The modern way of like, you know, they're going to be like, this is my third daddy. You know, like they're going to, it's going to be a thing where like the dad, in addition to getting a diamond for the wife, his girlfriend or wife, he has to also get some type of jewelry for the daughter.
Which means he needs to start selling crack on the corners to make up all that money.
It's definitely bribing. God, and also, like, even if you're in that situation, like, it's not that I'm against the gift giving. It's just that it's a diamond pendant. Like, give her a doll or something. Or, you know, like, not a diamond pendant.
What is she supposed to do with it?
Wear it to school, I guess. And then it gets caught on...
And not realize the worth of that.
And then it gets caught on the swing set. And then she breaks it.
And then she doesn't give a fuck.
And then she just like runs away from it. And like, it's like, it's actually on the floor. It's on the floor of the swing set.
And the like, father is just like, great, there goes my car.
Yeah. That's like,
there and goes the potential of having
like,
a car.
Or she's like, oh, I broke my jewelry. Oh, well. Like, seriously, kids like that, they wear like, you can get like plastic beads and then they'll like wear it around their neck and be like so happy with that. Like, why does they need a diamond pendant?
K, you're horrible. Like, K, you're horrible. I don't know who K is, but.
But also, like, why didn't they just advertise? Why don't they actually create a whole new product, like the special, like I was saying earlier, a charm bracelet? Dude, they could like take over that market to be like, oh, because you can have different animals on it or different figurines for like each level of your life. They can be like, this is the time where my daddy married my mom. You know, like they can track their life like that. That's the point of charm bracelets. I think that would be way more interesting than diamond pendant. I don't see, that's what I don't understand. Like that's so messed up, because you know that there's like also dads out there that are trying to assimilate into the family.
Yeah.
Like, they're not fully accepted. If she's like,
and always the best way is to buy your way in.
Yeah. What if she's like, my real dad died in war? You know, like, like something like that. And then
are you willing to die for our family in war?
Yeah.
You'll be the first one to sign up for the draft.
And then, like, or she can be like, my real dad left us. And then, like, she's all sad, you know, like an already damaged child. And now, like, she's just getting bought off with diamonds. Imagine how that girl's going to act when she's 25.
She's going to act like a money-grubbing whore. That's what it leads to.
That's what we're creating, K-Jewelers.
Because they just hop onto each other.
That's what we're creating, K-Jewelers. I just wanted to let you know that's what that ad meant to
disgusting,
me.
K. Absolutely disgusting.
Every kiss begins with crap.
Just because you come from that background doesn't mean everyone does. That's what I'm hoping. Stay positive in this holiday times, people.
Build-A-Bear should do a commercial like that.
Yes, go out there and Build-A-Bear.
He's like, now that I'm marrying your mom, let's go Build-A-Bear.
That would be awesome.
See, that makes more sense. I don't like this stupid jewelry crap. Yeah.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you had a great Christmas. Hope you enjoyed this post-Christmas. Curls-studio.com. Curls-studio.com/curls to check out Karen Vlevsky's webcomic Curls. Astray Productions, goastray.com. That's me. We produced this show. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll see you in 2013. 2013. Sorry about that. See you later.
Adios.